Blog Talk Radio.
That men would praise the Lord for His goodness and His mercy. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His wondrous works toward men. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord for His mercy endureth forever. He made the heavens and earth and all that is.
This is Dr. Cassandra McDonald coming to you live with Caring and Sharing Ministries on just the miracles that God has. Is just amazing to me. I'm just mesmerized, is what I want to say, by His goodness and by His long suffering and by His gentle kindness unto the children of men. So I'd like to introduce myself once again and also give you the call-in number This is Dr. Cassandra McDonald coming to you live on Block Talk Radio. God is a great guy. You can call him at 347-677-1854. That's 347-677-1854. Is this mesmerizing the miracles that God has for his people? Sometimes people mean to do well. They just sometimes don't quite get it to you. But not our God. He is on spot. I just came through a new situation this morning, and usually you have to go on contesting and, you know, be on guard and just be ready for the battle. Zero battle, zero combatment, zero complacency. I mean, 100% complacency. It was, I've never experienced that. I told them this is the best ever. And I went in to be an advocate to support a parent. And it was just beautiful. I'm glad that I was there, because there are some things that she did not understand, along with the people that I was with advocating for her autistic child. So there was clarity. So my presence was greatly needed. And I thank God that it was just not a struggle. And I'm mesmerized. And really that brings me to the scripture that I read them this morning. I like to do that, see where God will lead me. And I said, let me read this again and see, now that I've had half of the day experience, and see what other meaning the scripture might have for me. And so I read it again, and I read it this morning, but I got something totally different from it. It just pays to read the word of the Lord, because God is infinite in his knowledge, and we are so finite. But he's infinite, and the things he wants to teach and share with us are infinite, and you'll never exhaust his knowledge because we can't contain it start with. But I was reading from the fourth chapter of Ecclesiastes. That was my random scripture for the day. And so let me read again and see what I can gather from this. And see, that's the thing. Hour by hour, we have experiences. And with that line upon line and precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, that is actually congruent with how we live. Because, you know, minute upon minute, hour upon hour, we experience different experiences. So I went back and I read again the fourth chapter of Ecclesiastes. And the opening verse says, "So I returned and considered all the oppressions that were done under the sun, and behold," I didn't see this word when I read it a second ago. "Well, the tears of such were oppressed." And it's funny, because as I was reading this, I started having tears, but I didn't read that scripture. The word was in there. Somehow I skipped it. Who knows? "Oppressed, and they had no comfort," and that's what made me cry. "And they had no comfort," with all the oppression that people go through. "And they have no comfort." And it says their oppressors have the power, but these people have no comfort. And then I said, well, let me look up this word comfort and see how it parallels with the scripture. And the case in point where I was with this guardian and young child this morning. This boy hasn't been in school in 2 years. And they didn't know that we could facilitate them. They didn't know that we were here. And as it turns out, the guardian's mother lives just a few houses down from our facility. And she just walks him down here, opened the door today, and he's just grinning. Now, when I met with him this morning at the place where we were meeting, she literally had to drag him in there. And he was under the table, clinging to the leg of the table and her leg, and finally just went to sleep down there. But when we opened, that was this morning, screaming. And then he came this afternoon here, and I opened the door to greet him, grinning, just as happy. And I'm like, Lord, you're allowing me to have an opportunity to provide comfort for these parents and guardians of these children that are autistic, who feel so hopeless. I attended a meeting last night, and I was listening to some of the parents, and even the head person was saying, you know, if he just bags groceries, if he just exists, if he's just this, I'll be satisfied. Not have this breakout. I'm sorry. I said, excuse me. You have to have some type of expectation for this child. He can do way beyond your imagination and your belief. I said, we had an autistic kid, and the parents were hierarchy professionals, and they said, he can't do three functions at one time. If you tell him one thing, you have to wait to tell him the second thing, and he just, you know, he just can't articulate. He can't navigate through that many layers of instruction. And I'm thinking, the boy's a fine musician. He's navigated through quite a few layerings. When you have to play music, he can play by ear, he can compose, he can play the piano, he's a violinist. I'm like, those are layerings. Now, maybe he hasn't figured out how to connect them over to life skills, but I'm telling you, the mechanism is there. Well, as soon as he turned 18, he left his parents and went down to live in another state with another relative. Lo and behold, he passes a driver's test and is driving. So he'll never drive. He can't do two things at one time. He's driving, has his dream job, playing the violin. I mean, you know, and this is the comfort. You know, if you put it in the child, if you put the word in yourself or put the word in people, there's a level of comfort that you can't see logically how it comes together. But I'm telling you, it's there. And so then I said, okay, Lord, how do I parallel this scripture with, it says, and I turned and I saw all the oppression that people live under the sun, and there was no comforter. Then I turned to 2 Corinthians. Oh, I didn't underline it. Let's see. Oh, yeah. It is the third, underline it now, and the fourth verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, the third and the fourth verse. And it said, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the fathers of mercy, and the God of how much comfort? All comfort. It makes no difference what task it is you face. It just doesn't matter. God said he's a God of all comfort. Now check this out, fourth verse. Who comforteth us all our tribulations, the things that we're contested with, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, and by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Ha! I'm telling you, it's a trickle-down thing. Now, that leads me to my subject. How many heads do you have? If God is your head, and he is the God of all comfort, then you can trickle down this goodness and share it with somebody else and comfort them when they don't know God in this capacity. When I was out of town this weekend, in the hotel that I was in, young lady waited on me and has a young child. She's been working since she was 11 years old and raising her brothers and other siblings because her mom just wasn't quite with the program. And she says, I've always worked. And that right now she has two jobs. But somebody tricked her and stole the check and did some evil stuff. We won't go into details. So like put her out of her apartment. She's living in a car. She says, but I make sure my son's at school. He's at school on time. She's in kindergarten. She says, I've got two jobs. And once I can get the pay coming in, you know, I'm getting in college. I want to work with special needs children because she says, I've had an IEP my entire life. And I know that I can help them because I understand. And I said, oh, yeah, we're going to make this work. I said, I'm going to make some phone calls. We're going to make sure you get some help. Then I gave her a bit of money for a down payment. You know, I said, save this, you know, so when you get your apartment, you have some money for your down payment and so forth. And then I've found other entities that I can do to help her. So as we were talking, because she had seated in the booth where we were, then her manager walked by. I'm like, oops. Although breakfast thing was over and she was finished serving everyone. Everyone had been gone, but she's supposed to be cleaning. So I said, I'm going to go talk to him to make sure you're not in trouble. So I went and spoke with him. And I said, I hope I didn't get her in trouble. I love encouraging young people and speaking into their lives and, you know, helping them see their dreams. She wants to do something with special needs children. And I have an school for autism. Just hold it right there. Number one, she's not in trouble. That's fine. Okay, now, back to this autism school. He says he has a family members he's bringing down from another state. I'll just leave those things anonymous. Because they've cut out a lot of the special needs. And he said, this young man is 10 years old. He hasn't been in school in a year. There's nowhere to send him. There's nothing to do. The mother has epilepsy, 2 seizures a day. And they haven't been able to balance that. And the 11-year-old daughter is raising the family. And they're 4 kids. And I said, well, we're going to work on housing. We're going to work on schooling. We're going to get these things. So the Lord has comforted me in putting me into this entity, which I never dreamed I would have. I knew I wanted to do something for my community. I went to open my school. I opened up business, art, and music. But allowing God, going back to our subject, the subject is how many heads you have. Well, I had several heads. And then I had to get rid of some of them, like all of them. But one of them I will mention was fear. Fear was guiding me. And when the Lord put me in a situation where, whew, I had to choose, I chose him. I thought he was my head. I thought I was serving on him. I thought he was the one who was, whoo, the king of my life. But no. Because when he asked me a certain question, when I answered, he wasn't the first thing I came up with. I'm like, oh, Lord, my goodness, you're not first in my life. This is ugly. I've got to make some corrections here. But that means letting everything and everybody go and choosing him. You know, when you clean off your plate, you clean off all the garbage around you and clean you, the garbage carrier, as well. Then God will input what you should have in there. But, you know, your cup's only so full and only holds so much. And if it's full of crap and junk, then that's what you produce. You know, a good fruit, a good tree bears good fruit. And if you have other mixed things in there, then that's what you're going to produce. So it's a daily choice to choose him. And that's why the Lord didn't make us robots, and that's why he gave us a wheel. Do you want my comfort? He says, come unto me, all you that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He is the ultimate comforter. But you have to choose this day whom you will serve. And in the studies, if you read, I have the one sheeter on Facebook, as I do, but so many times we're living a delusional life, thinking that we're serving God with all, first commandment, all your heart, mind, and strength, all. I thought I was. I really, 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 really thought I was. God knew my heart and that I desired to, but was I doing it? No, I was not. But I didn't know it. When he asked me, if I tell you to go, I tell you where and I tell you when, will you go? I'm like, huh? And I'm like, well, what was this person say? What was this person say? And what would I do about this? I mean, I had all these what is and what who's and what if. Oh, I said, God, you're not first. Oh, this is ugly. Now, I'm thinking I'm serving the Lord. Oh, my goodness. But, you know, I'm just not preached this and taught this so many times. And now I'm thinking, I was in the same predicament. Put in that scripture in Matthew 7:21. And they said, but Lord, we did many wonderful works in your name. And God said, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. And if you go read it, he says, I never knew you. And I'm like, oh, oh. I mean, has the Lord tell you, I don't know you and I never knew you and call you workers of iniquity? And I said, thank God for the mercies of God because God gave me another chance. Well, actually, about 5 years after that, he came back only with 2 things. If I tell you to go and I tell you when, will you go? Well, God, I'm much, much better than I was, but I still serve fear. I'm not there yet. Thank God for the mercies of God. Well, no sense in me making up something, because God knows your words. He knows your thoughts before you think them. And I said, can we just pick up and go? I'm not there yet. So more years passed. When I went to Guatemala, I got there and I said, God, you don't have to ask me the third time. I won't go. Now, the crazy thing about all of this, I've been preaching this message probably now over 15 years. Can't grow, can't go. You can't go, you can't grow. Been preaching. I had no idea it was the message was for me. But since then, I've learned that when I get a message, it came to me, it came through me, so it's for me. Okay? You know, it starts right where it starts, right here, and to be applicable. So it makes you really take a self-efficacy of how many heads do you have? What are you fearing? Who are you serving? What do you care about? You know, what are those cares that are weighing you down? You know, what is that? And, you know, the thing about God is so gracious, our bodies will let us know the way he's designed us. We're not designed to be able to handle stress. Stress is killing, and it says stress. It used to say stress caused about 87% of our diseases. Recent studies say 100% because there's some malfunctioning going on in our bodies. Things aren't coming together, you know, like they should. And for me, if I have stress, it reacts physically, and I'll get a headache, and I'm like, I don't have headaches. Why do I have this headache? I said, I must be stressed about something. I might have a pain in my head. I'm like, well, why do I have this pain? I must stress. Something's wrong. So I try to get to the core. And I'm not one that takes any synthetic medicine to cover it up. So the pain's there. I was having a pain in my shoulder because I pretty much believe I re-tore the rotator cuffs when I fell into the shower. And I couldn't move my shoulder for weeks. I said, well, I must have really injured it. So someone said, well, why didn't you just take a few Advils? I said, and my shoulder's hurt. I want to know this hurts. So I don't abuse it. And I rest it. That's just me. So my point is that when my body talks to me, I hear it because I haven't covered up anything. So I'm very alerted as to even if I eat one thing, I can tell if that's the thing that's bothering me because there's no interference. I know. So, but I personally want to be in tune with my body that way. And I thank the Lord that, you know, he's always helped me because that's my personal desire. But, you know, when you trust God, you don't have to worry. You can choose to. It really doesn't accomplish anything. It doesn't move anything forward. And that which knowledge which you could have, you don't receive, or at least my experience, I don't receive because I'm too caught up and I'm blinded. If I'm, for instance, just using myself as an example, if I've lost something, and one time I needed it really, really bad for this meeting, it was an important meeting, and I tore up everything trying to find this evidence that I needed, and I couldn't find it, and I was so frustrated, and I said, okay, obviously plan A, B, and C did not work, so let me go to my head and see what my head has to say about this situation. How do I go to my head, which is God? I go and I worship. I just get before him, and I praise him for who he is, and I thank him for what he's done. I glorify his name. I magnify his name. I tell him what a great guy he is, and it helps de-escalate me. It helps calm me down, and guess what? Then I can hear his voice. Then I can hear it. Because I got me out of the way. He probably was trying to talk to me the whole time, but I was so frustrated I couldn't hear anything but being frustrated. And then I said, Lord, I got 10 minutes. I got to get out of here. I won't even make it to the meeting if I don't leave. But I don't have what I need to have. God's so merciful. He says, they don't mail it out anymore. It's online. I'm like, man, I forgot that. So very quickly, I go online and I print it off and I leave. Now, I could have found that out an hour ago had I took time and had I worshiped. God, your head, that's why he's the head. He's got the roadmap. He knows. He has the roadmap. He knows where things are. He can see through walls. He just knows. He's a magnificent God. And here's the scriptures that I use for this, how many heads. And the subtitle was, your mind or God's mind. I was just thinking, Lord, get us in trouble so many times? I was just thinking, change your mind. Let it go. It's no advantage, trust me. But God that you serve, he said, I'm a God of all comfort. He comes to lead and to guide. And that's why the truth will make you free. Now, I got free from my fear and nervousness and stress because I worshiped God and he simply told me where it was. I'm like, you can see through walls. Could you please share? Well, as soon as you give me a little bit of credit here, maybe I can get a word in that twice. So God told me. And here's what God says in Ephesians, the fourth chapter, which is our scripture text. For there's one body and one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One. Here's one. Woo! He knows. He said, there's no other besides me. I am it. I am the. Whatever you need, I've got it. It doesn't make any difference what it is. I've got it. And if we'll just trust him, because he is the God that is going to continually bless us and keep us according to his word. So he says, to everyone, thus is given the grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. And he gave some apostles, and he gave some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, until we all come into the unity of the faith. God knows what he's doing. And if you just trust him to be your head, you have some good directions and not fall. He says, but now to him is able to keep you falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, and power, dominion, and power both now and forever. Trust him to be your head. Don't think for yourself in terms of challenging what God has said, but believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and his word, and thou shalt be saved. We bless your name. Woo, hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Jesus.